Welcome to Intuitive Eating for Christian Women. I'm your co-host, Erin Todd. I'm a writer and an intuitive eater.
And I'm your co-host, Charlie Castle, registered dietitian and exercise physiologist. We're here to help you discover whole health for your mind, body, and soul.
That's right. Our goal is to embody scripture, ditch dieting, and live on purpose.
Woo! Woo! Yes, girl.
Our bonus episode today is an intuitive eating coaching session where I am solo coaching our friend and fellow podcaster, Heather Creekmore, as she steps out in faith and starts sharing about her own intuitive eating journey with Jesus. FYI, these episodes are going to be available on Heather's podcast as well, and you definitely want to check out the Compared to Who podcast for all things Christian body image. As a reminder, for all of our podcast episodes here on Intuitive Eating for Christian Women, this program is for informational and educational purposes only, and it is not a substitute for individual medical or mental health advice. Our aim here on the podcast is to introduce you to the principles of intuitive eating and help you see how those principles align with Scripture so you can improve your relationship with food, your body, and God, and cast out dieting for good. Now, without further ado, let's dive into our conversation with Heather, where we're going to discuss satisfaction, good versus bad foods, and the power of unconditional permission to eat.
Hey there, Erin. Thanks for being my coach today.
Good morning, Heather.
So, this is a topic that you, I was going to say intuited.
Yeah.
But so I was kind of complaining is probably not the right word. I was expressing my challenges with satisfaction and food. And so some of you have probably heard, if you've listened to other shows, just especially from last fall, like I've shared the story of like eating the donut that I had wanted all day long. And then I sat down and I ate the donut and I experienced something called satisfaction, which Erin, I'm just going to go right out there and say it. Like, as I think more about this, that feels wrong. Like somewhere I think I was taught that I should not be satisfied.
Yeah. Diet culture teaches that.
Right. And someone else, I don't know if you've heard this too, like I didn't warn you about this thought I was having, but I've also heard it connected to purity culture.
Yes.
So have you studied that at all too?
I haven't, but I have bumped into that so many times. There's definitely a lot of overlap in the messaging around what we're expected to do, what our roles are as women, what we should and should not be doing. Like there's a lot of overlap with purity culture and your relationship with your body, because that's what that is really getting to. And so I think a lot of times the diet culture messaging around flesh and body kind of gets tangled up in there. And we definitely get the message from diets that, pleasure is what needs to be avoided.
Right.
And, you know, just think about all of the ads for, gosh, there's one on Spotify right now that's like, at the end of your day, what sinful indulgence will you be? And it's just like, come on, get that language about sin off of my chocolate. Like,
right. Devilish.
Devilish.
Yeah. Sinful,
all of the
devilish.
Snackwell ads from the 90s were like that. If anybody remembers those, like that is just, that is a very easy tactic. And diet culture uses it all the time. So like you have received the message 1,000 times indirectly and directly that pleasure is bad. You shouldn't enjoy your food. And if you're enjoying it, it's sinful and wrong. Right. And that keeps us afraid of food, that disconnects us from our bodies. Like just, there's so many things wrong with that beyond just the fact that it's a bald-faced lie.
Yeah.
Like nowhere in the Bible does it say anything about pleasure is sinful.
Right. And right. But that feels really awkward. Like I'm just, I'm speaking for me, but I'm also speaking for someone listening today. And that is just like, I don't know. I mean, I've been trying really hard to eat my carrot sticks and say, oh, this is so delicious. Oh, I love, like, this is just, and you know, because I know they're healthy and that's how I should feel about them. And it's this like forced, feigned love. And I'm not saying that carrots aren't good. Like I cooked carrots. Oh my goodness. Cooked carrots with a roast. Like I love those things. Like those things are candy to me. Like, love me some cooked carrots. Okay. But it's different than chocolate cake. And sometimes my body wants chocolate cake and sometimes my body wants cooked carrots, but that one indulgence, the chocolate cake, that's like we said, that's sinful and pleasure that I shouldn't experience. And so I can only have just like a little bit, or I have to think about every bite because I'm doing something bad.
Yeah.
And then cooked carrots, I can eat all I want, right? Yeah.
That's that language that is putting morality on our food choices, labeling some as good, others as bad, and therefore the person who's eating them as good or bad. And we internalize all of that.
But aren't they good or bad? I mean, like, I want to play devil's, I hate saying devil's advocate because I'm not on his team. Okay. But like someone is listening saying, but one is obviously healthier than the other. So aren't some good and aren't some bad? Like can you really say that they're not all good or bad?
Sure. Yes, I can say that. And the distinction that they're trying to make and that I'm trying to make is not the nutritional value of the food. Yes. Foods are not all nutritionally equal. The carrot is giving you different nutrients than chocolate cake. But that doesn't mean one is healthier than the other. And especially when I know that person who's asking that question, their definition of health is wrongly connected to weight. Mm. So even what a particular food is going to do to your body, it's not all the same. But what we're saying is the morality of that is the same. Your value as a human, your dignity as an image bearer of God does not change based on which food choice you make. Yeah. And so the people that want to elevate their value with a sense of false self-righteousness by making, quote, good choices, they're out on a limb there. Yeah. And I was there. I had to crawl back from that limb myself. It's just not true biblically. And it doesn't even make a lot of sense once we start really understanding how the body takes in nutrients and how our body's internal weight regulation system works. Like that, it's just not true scientifically or biblically. And so all of that languaging that we have taken in through osmosis from culture, it's culture's lies. Like it is a lie that there are certain foods that are quote good and other foods that are quote bad. That's just labels.
Yeah. But that's hard to swallow.
It is. It is. And it's hard to unlearn that. And it's hard to change the way you've thought about food because, I mean, I had decades of letting the good food, bad food rules give me safety and give me a little box to live in. And that served me for a while in dieting. And I think a lot of women really it's weird that it helps them when they're in the bad phase of dieting and they're in an unhealthy relationship with food. Those good and bad judgments is something that is helping them cope with life. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those, what's that word? I want to say like a maladaptive coping skill. Like it feels like it's helping you, but it's really not. It's really damaging your relationship with food. And ultimately, once we start learning, you know, the principles of intuitive eating and health at every size science, we can really understand why there aren't good and bad foods and just let that go and just let food be food. Like food is not meant to have power over how you see yourself as a person and your worth. It just doesn't, that kind of power does not belong there with food.
Right. And well, that's kind of where I was going to go next. It's like the serving you that you're talking about, in a way, it's a place to find your justification.
Yes.
Or your like, and so I see it like there's times in our lives where we're just like, I don't know what's up and what's down. Yeah. Okay, this is a constant for me. I can know I'm doing well in this area, even if every other area is going bad. I'm doing well according to these specific standards, right? That I've been taught by like this diet or whatever. Like I can check all the boxes. Like, okay, Heather was good today. And I can pat myself on the back. I'm justified in my goodness. But you're right. It's a false religion. Right. I mean, because, you know, God doesn't want us to be justified by eating only non-sinful foods. He wants us to be justified by the fact that his son died on the cross for our sins. And we're talking real sins, not chocolate cake sins. So it's a false religion. But it feels safe. And honestly, like, I hate to go here, and this isn't where we're going to go today. So we got to pivot in a minute, but okay. You know, it's so accepted. I think even among Christian women, like this is a way we justify each other and accept each other. And I think that probably needs to be called out more. And I know you're passionate about that. Like we have to stop accepting or not accepting each other based on how well we follow a perceived set of diet rules. And then, I mean, and then just like how crazy it gets that like even the diet rules that we would have accepted someone on 10 years ago are not going to be valid a year or two from now. Right.
That just shows you how cultural it is. And it's like this trendy thing that it's been in our culture for a while, but it morphs. And since I'm getting to the age where I've experienced different decades of it, like there are trends with it and we keep, and the finish line keeps moving with it. It's like, oh, well, this wasn't the thing. Let me try this next new thing. And we're just chasing, we're chasing the salvation by, it used to be weight loss and now it's health. Yeah. It's the same, but it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so tricky and shape-shifty. And like, I mean, that's why I call diet culture spiritual warfare. I mean, it's just deceiving us and distracting us.
Right.
Stealing our lives.
Right. Absolutely. And so this episode is going to be used as a part of a series I'm doing on fear of. And so I talked to Nicole Masita about fear of fat. I think you know Nicole. And I talked to Tracy Brown about fear of bread. And so this episode is kind of falling in there. And so where I really wanted to go today was this whole concept of fear of satisfaction. Like how awkward it feels to want to be satisfied by food. And you called me out because you heard me talking about my struggle with shopping. And you were like, Heather, that's just like your issue with food. You didn't say it like that. But do you remember that? Do you remember what you said?
Yeah. I remember you were describing just not a compulsion, but like just this way you had restricted yourself over to the clearance rack and you wouldn't allow yourself to buy anything that wasn't clearance items. And how you didn't really like that. And I was just amazed at how much that mentality is tracking your relationship with clothes. It's tracking your relationship with food because it's the way you're thinking about it.
Right.
It's like, I can only do these, you know, restricted items, and clearance rack would be, in your case, I think analogous to like diet foods. So I'm thinking like rice cake, almond crackers, whatever it is. That's like the cheap substitute of not the thing you actually want, but the thing that you'll allow yourself to have.
Yeah.
And ultimately that is a satisfaction issue. And intuitive eating, satisfaction is like the hub of the wheel. All of the other principles are spokes that come out from the satisfaction. And so if you can't begin with giving yourself what you want, which is, can sound greedy the way I phrase it, but it's really about meeting your need. Like I have a need to be fed. I have a need to be clothed. And how do I approach that in the most restrictive manner where I'm not getting what I want, but I'm just kind of getting through with a cheap substitute? Or am I going to allow myself to do it in a way that is nourishing and satisfying and makes me feel good and is ultimately adding to my life rather than creating a mess over here that I then have to deal with.
Yeah.
So I think for me, I just saw you were talking about like tops, and mm-hmm. I was just seeing rice cakes and crackers and like going and buying, you know, 6 clearance tops for like $4 or $5 each. And like, that's it. When really you could have had one piece that you actually wanted that was more expensive, but that would have done the job better than 4 or 5 little ones. Just the way, you know, a whole package of rice cakes or whatever is not going to meet your need for something salty that tastes good because mm-hmm. that has no flavor. mm-hmm. When you really wanted just that little bag of chips that was in your kid's lunch. And if you just had that, mm-hmm. you know, if we take the, it's not a dollar to dollar exactly thing, but the concept of the lesser thing and the thing you really want.
Yeah.
Creating this big gap and you're living in that dissatisfaction between those two things.
Yeah. So, but let me, so in my head, like, I know everything you're saying is exactly right. Like, I agree with you. Right. But in my head, like what boils up is indulgence, you know, selfish. You don't want to be indulgent. Like, and it becomes religious, right? It's a religious sort of spirit of, I may even go so far to like not indulge the flesh, right? And it's kind of ridiculous, right? Because I know the truth about my habits. Like, it's not about how much money I spend on clothing. Okay, I've got a whole closet full of Clearance Rack clothing, way too much clothing. Like, you can slap the indulgent label on my closet already. Okay. But I can somehow feel like, well, I got that on sale and I didn't pay that much for that. And yes, I have a lot of clothes, but you know, I wasn't shopping at Michael Kors and, you know, like, it's all bargain stuff. So because I got it on the clearance rack at Target, it doesn't count as indulgence. Right.
Yeah.
And then, so taking that to food, right. It's the same, like, well, it wasn't Cheesecake Factory cheesecake.
Yeah.
It was, you know, the cheesecake flavored fat-free yogurt or whatever. Right. Yeah. Like, but you're so right. And I mean, and it's weird. It is weird to me how the one thing in my, it really is only one thing in my closet. And unfortunately it doesn't really fit me as well as it used to. So I haven't worn it in a while. It may never fit me again. I should probably just come to grips with that. That's a whole nother episode. But I have this one. It's it's called a jumpsuit, like a pantsuit thing from White House Black Market. Love that story. Like, that was the place I shopped when I worked. Like, that was where everything came from. But this one, I bought this after I had my fourth child. And I was with someone, she was another pastor's wife, and I didn't know her very well at all, but we were shopping and I tried it on and she was like, you must buy that. And I was like, yeah, but it's like not on clearance and da, da, da. And she's like, no, you must buy that. And I did. And I've worn that thing like to every special occasion. Like, I probably got a decade's worth of wear maybe out of it to every special occasion. I loved it. I always felt good when I wore it. And it's strange to me that I remember that interaction because I don't remember interactions around other pieces of clothing I've purchased, even if someone was with me. But I remember her saying that and like me going for it. And it worked out well, but I don't know. I don't know really where I was going with that other than it was some sort of emotional experience, right?
She was giving you permission.
No, there you go. That's a food word.
To like,
yeah,
eat what you really wanted to eat or buy what you really wanted to buy and clothe yourself in a way that felt good. She was giving you permission to indulge in your mind.
Ooh.
She was just really giving you permission to be kind to yourself there and to do something that made you feel good. And there's nothing wrong with feeling good.
Yeah.
There's just not. The other thing that I was thinking before, that's such a huge thing with your shopping friend there. But before that, I think was coming through for me in the way you described that was you were getting maybe not identity, that might be too strong of a way to phrase it, but your concept of yourself was, I'm going to self-deny. Mm-hmm. That is what's going to give me my, that's why I'm right. My righteousness is the fact that I'm going to deny myself, going to restrict. I'm not going to allow these things. And that's what makes me good. That's what makes me safe.
Right.
Which all kinds of problems with that.
Right. But and that's a diet culture mentality.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Like the just are saved by denial.
Yep.
Or the just are saved by healthier choices and substitutes.
Yep.
There's the healthier way to do that, right? That's, yeah. And we look down on those who don't. Like, you're going to eat regular pizza? Hello, there's cauliflower pizza now. Like, why would you do that? Right? Like, that's so, like, you must be just ignorant. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm saying that out loud. I would never say that out loud to someone, right? But in my head, like, I think during those times of being sucked all in there, that would have been my thought process. Like,
yeah.
How can you not think like me? Yeah. Right.
Oh, I know. I mean, I felt like that too for years. And I judged other people and harmed relationships and just acted wrongly for a long time. And that's just, we have to forgive ourselves for that. Mm. And we have to forgive people that are doing that to us. Like, everybody is just, they're coping the best way they can.
Right.
And it is not our fault that culture is the way that it is. But once we start to wake up to that and know better, then we can respond with grace and live like we believe the gospel and not live like we believe the false gospel of weight loss.
Right. Right. Yeah. Let's go back to that permission thing though, a second.
Okay.
Look, I think where that goes deeper is the challenge that a lot of us had, and I'm going to try to say this in the safest way possible, but the challenge most of us had in our families of origin with being restricted around food and not having unconditional permission to eat, and thinking about what it would be like. And for some, I know my coaching clients, for some to just have mom even in their life now to say, it's okay. Like, I'm not judging your food choices, but I know many 50, 60 year old women who are still worried about what their mom's going to think when they eat the pie at Thanksgiving or take a roll at the restaurant. Right. And so that, I think that concept is bigger for most of us, and then maybe we realize is that permission, and it doesn't feel like you can just give yourself permission. In some ways, I think we're still waiting for someone else that we respected, that we loved, that we hoped was guiding us correctly in this arena to give us that permission. I don't know, thoughts on that?
It makes me sad. I definitely, I'm so grateful that I didn't have that struggle. I had a complicated enough story with food. Mm. So my heart really goes out to women with that, because that just adds another layer of struggle to this. And giving yourself permission is hard enough, and needing it from another person, especially in a close relationship, is just hard.
Yeah.
I would say as that person continues on the journey of exploring their relationship with food and really trying to apply grace and the gospel to their relationship with food, something that they will have to deal with at some point is that relationship.
Yeah.
And once they understand that person was wrong, to forgive them and get some distance there in terms of letting that person's wrongness influence your own belief.
Right.
And somehow, it's so tricky. And there's no like one size fits all for this, because you still want to love that person. They're still in your life. And I have heard the book Boundaries is really good.
That's what I was just going to say.
For that boundaries. Kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would say that's probably, I mean, but that is a really right in your face issue that almost has to be dealt with before you can do some of the other work that's involved with giving your own self permission and then experiencing all the different things that happen when you try that out and experiment with it and seeing how it feels in your body, et cetera, et cetera. because the heart issue that is there in wanting that person's approval is the first step. I mean, all of the beginning of this healing starts with your mindset and your heart and getting that right and getting, you know, getting your identity only in Christ. Right. And not in other people's approval and not in what your body looks like and not in how righteous or just you are in your food choices. Like,
right.
Your identity is not being the healthy one.
Right.
That's nobody's right. identity.
Right. Right. And well, and yeah, so it's boundaries and you're right. I hadn't really stopped and thought about this in this way before. So I'm processing out loud here, but the first step for you, if you're like, I'm listening to this intuitive eating stuff and I want to do it, but it just is hard. And, you know, and I intellectually am getting it and I can't, like, maybe where you're stuck is in that, in one of those original relationships from your family of origin. It might not be mom or dad. It might be grandma. It might be an aunt. You know, or maybe it happened in college when you had like the roommate that like knew all the things and was skinny and popular because she ate all the things, or at least you believe she was skinny and popular because she ate all the things, or didn't eat all the things is probably the better way to put that. But you know, wherever this concept of this person has taught me how to relate to food and if I relate to food in a different way, I'm going to disappoint this person. Or I'm going against like the religion they taught me, right? Like, I mean, in some ways it is as severe as the Hindu coming to Christ, right? Because it's a different religion. It's a different way of thinking. And, you know, I've had clients that are just like, you know, I can't handle mom's look of scorn as I eat, you know, and it's like, yeah, I like, ow. Like that's a big thing. So I'm tossing that out there as encouragement for anyone listening today. Like, it's okay to start there and get some help to process that. Like I spent a decade in counseling. You find a good Christian biblical counselor, right? Don't just go to anyone. You find the phone book. No one uses the phone book anymore. I dated myself there. But like, you know, any, you know, don't find anyone you find online. Just ask someone at your church or ask a find a Christian biblical counselor, but start there. And that may lead you to places you didn't expect to go. So any other thoughts on satisfaction, Erin?
I just want to emphasize that it cannot be ignored.
Mm.
Like, it is so important. And I know that that's tough to swallow coming out of years of dieting and being exposed to the messages we are exposed to in diet culture, but like, I mean, it's the hub of the wheel.
Yeah.
You can't even get to the other principles if you're not addressing that as well. Right. Like, it's so foundational to your relationship with food. And we want to overcomplicate it and come up with excuses why we don't need to do it. But I just remember that, you know, God made us with taste buds and our senses, and he made us in a way that we are built to get physical pleasure in our body from eating. Like, yeah. It feels good, it tastes good, it's an enjoyable thing. Like, it is just such a gift. Like, he could have made us where, you know, we take a pill that has no flavor and that's how we get our nourishment, but he didn't do that.
Yeah.
He didn't do that. Food is beautiful and it's a gift and it is okay to enjoy it. It's safe to enjoy it. There's nothing sinful with enjoying food and being satisfied by food. And that's not the same thing as saying, you know, your ultimate satisfaction is not food. It's
right.
Your relationship with Jesus.
Right.
And there's the word satisfaction was loaded for me in the beginning with that because I was like, oh no, but like, you know, I'm supposed to be satisfied in Jesus. And you are when you can tie in your faith with that food.
Yeah.
And recognize it as a gift and be grateful for it. I think we've really lost touch with gratitude for food in this Instagram first world problems culture we have. Like,
right.
you were provided for. Right. You have food to eat. That is a blessing.
Right. Well, and so I'm just thinking about, I read this in my daily Bible reading, I don't know, last week, I think it was. And the way that it's worded when Jesus provided food for the people that had come to hear and preach, the feeding of the 5,000, it just, something struck me about it where I was like, wait a second here. Like Jesus cared about them not eating. Like he wanted them to eat. He felt like they needed to eat. Like that was a priority to him, was feeding them. Jesus wants to feed people in that story, right? And not just, yeah. he was feeding them spiritually, but not just spiritually, he wanted to feed them physically. He recognized that it would be a problem if they were undernourished. Yeah. And yet, how many of us, kind of like we talked about last month, how many of us live undernourished? Right? Like I just, and then that aside from all the satisfaction, right? Because taste and see that the Lord is good. Like why would he use taste? Yeah. Like why you say the word taste? If everything we taste is rice cakes, I'm not tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. I'm tasting and seeing the Lord is bland. Right? Right. I mean, that's truth, right? And I just, even in Job, I think in my Bible reading this morning, there was a verse in Job. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food. Well, in order for that to make sense, it has to be something that he would normally do. He would treasure his portion of food in his mouth. Well, if you're treasuring something in your mouth, unless you have COVID, you are tasting it, right?
Right.
So it's okay to taste good things.
Yeah, it is. And that's not a contradiction with, you know, being fed physically and being fed spiritually, just like the satisfaction kind of as a bifurcation like that. Like the ultimate is still Jesus. You're just experiencing one of his gifts on a deeper level, with more gratitude and letting yourself, giving yourself permission to be nourished by it and to enjoy it and to be grateful for it, hopefully is what follows from that.
Right. Right. And how much more just in general in life, I'm going to sneeze again. How much more, thank you. How much more just in general in life, when we can have something and be grateful for it, does it bless us more, right? And so just even thinking about food, I'm not super grateful for my rice cakes or even my smoothie. Like I like my smoothie okay, but when I get a treat, you know, when someone blesses us by sending, like we had someone in the church send us some Tiff's treats. Is that a national thing? I don't know, it might just be a Texas thing, but it's like warm, they send you warm cookies. Okay. Mm, so these nice. Are warm chocolate chip cookies and they just showed up at our doorstep unexpectedly one day. And it was like, that was such a blessing. It was it was a big thing, but like a little thing too. It's like, it's just a cookie. It's just a warm cookie. But wow, like what a great day that was. Like everyone in the family was like, this is so awesome. And,
yeah. Simple and pleasures.
We're able to be grateful for that and enjoy that and savor that. And yeah, and be satisfied because of that, like in that blessing, right? And yeah, there's good stuff there. Well, Erin, yeah. Any last thoughts?
Yeah, I wanna leave it with my favorite summation of the satisfaction principle, which okay. is a quote from the original authors. I think it's in their workbook rather than the original book. I can't remember where I read it, but I know that when I read it, like a light bulb went off for me, and it's like how I explain intuitive eating to people in a sentence.
Okay.
And it's, if you don't love it, don't eat it. Mm. And if you love it, savor it.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's just that simple. Yeah. Like if that is the hub, everything, falls into place when that is like your guiding principle. All the other stuff's extra and nuanced and advanced. And that's mm-hmm. the most basic way to boil it down. If you don't love it, don't eat it. Yeah. And if you love it, savor it. And I think that applies to our food choices, our clothing choices. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it really, it's a way to value yourself and care for yourself in mm-hmm. like a nurturing way that says, you know, I matter. Like, my enjoyment of God's gifts to me is important.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And someone's thinking about that in terms of their dating relationships too. I'm just going to throw that out there. Like, we got to wrap this up. But yeah, I mean, now if you're already married, you don't get to apply that. You just need to water the grass that you've been given. But if you're dating someone, you're just like, yeah, he's there. Think through this. Think through this. So yeah, that's really good. That's really good. And the savor it too. Like, if you're coming out of a restriction, you're going to feel like, oh, I can't be free because I'm going to eat all the things. But savoring the things is different than what happens when you're restricting and then binging, essentially, right? That it's a different thing when you have that, you know, that permission to eat, and you know you can eat at any time. Your relationship with that food that you love does change. And we talked about that a little bit in the first coaching call we did back in January. So you can go back and listen to that episode if that sounds unfamiliar to you. But yeah. Well, thanks, Erin, so much. Tell everyone where they can connect with your show and you guys.
Yeah. So you can learn more about intuitive eating on our podcast. It's Intuitive Eating for Christian Women. Season one specifically, we're teaching it. So check that out first.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Erin. And thank you for watching or listening today. I hope something in today's episode helps you stop comparing and start living. Bye-bye.
If today's coaching session made you a little hungry for some extra help on your own intuitive eating journey, then sister, we've got two options for you. First, our free private Facebook community, and second, our paid monthly membership program. If you're looking for some community and just to connect with other women on this journey to follow Jesus and not diets, then come on over to our free Facebook community. We are sharing and learning and growing together over there. It's awesome. And if you want a little more accountability and support, you can join our monthly membership program. For $10 a month, you get access to our members-only resource library, which includes the Health at Every Size book club content, and you get an invite to our exclusive members-only monthly coffee dates, where we get together and pray for each other and work through our struggles and support one another on the journey. You can access both of these communities through our podcast website, IntuitiveEatingForChristianWomen.com. That's IntuitiveEatingForChristianWomen.com. Don't go this alone, sister. Let's do it together. Thanks for listening today. We will see you in the next episode.